I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Living in the riches of my Lord and King, I'm a covenant man.
I'm a covenant man.
Committed to Him in everything, I do believe He'll come again. And I know one thing I'm gonna do till then is learn to live in the blessing of Abraham.
Hello, everybody. I'm David Weider. This is my wife, Lynn Weider, and this is the Covenant Living Broadcast. Glory to God. We're so glad you joined us today. Pull up a chair, get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or, you know, that energy drink. Well, tea, or something like that. So I want to tell you a little bit about why this broadcast is formatted the way it is. And one of it has to do with our specific calling, which is teaching. And so this is why it's set up. We're at the table. We got the cup. We got the book. We got notebooks. Because it's particularly about teaching. But it's not just teaching like academia. It's teaching from our lives and from our experience and the things that work, based on the scripture, based on the word. And, you know, it doesn't do any good to get up here and teach something that you haven't lived.
Right.
You know, and so that's what we do. We teach, but it's through visiting and talking back and forth about things that we've discovered and things that we've observed in our lives and things like that. And so we're just so glad that you join us and that you pick this broadcast to learn and enjoy the word. And we just feel like we're amongst home folks and we just enjoy your company, even though you may be a little far away. So let's start off with a word of prayer and then we're going to get into the word of God. Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to share the principles, the laws of the kingdom that you have written down for us. I hear so many people say that they wish there was a user's manual for life. Well, thank God you've given us one. And we thank you for the honor of being able to teach and share what little bit we've learned about the laws and the principles and operation of the kingdom of God. And we rely on you, sir, and on your anointing to help us, to teach us, to guide us, to speak through our lips, think through our minds on these broadcasts. And not only that, but go beyond that into every individual's life that are listening to or watching these broadcasts so that you reveal to them even beyond what's contained in the English language being spoken on these broadcasts, to reveal to each and every individual's hearts and minds what they need to hear from you. And I also thank you, as we prayed before these broadcasts began today, that you would cause these broadcasts, these audio recordings, the written form of these, to get into people's hands and into people's lives all over this world that need to hear and learn these things. I thank you for it. I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the honor. And I thank you for the power of God manifested in the people's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, you know that I just work here, right? And so when I was praying over these broadcasts and I was preparing for these broadcasts, the Lord said, you need to back up a little bit. You went a little too fast last week. So we're going to go back to James today and we're going to look at corresponding action and how that relates to faith and how you use it. So if you will, turn with me over to James chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading this Well, I'm going to read it in the King James Version first. So we'll start with that. I'm going to get all my swords together here, you know. So James chapter 1.
Verses 21 through 25.
We're going to pick up, I think we're just going to pick up in verse 22.
Okay.
And so go ahead if you'd like.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, is this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Now, I'm going to read it in the Weymouth New Testament translation. It says things in a little different light and makes things a little bit clearer, particularly when we go here in a moment over to chapter 2. So, but in chapter 1, verse 20, picking up in verse 22 in Weymouth, but prove yourselves obedient to the message and do not be hearers of it. Listen to this, imposing a delusion upon yourselves. For if anyone listens but does not obey, he is like a man who carefully looks at his own face in the mirror. I mean, he's looking at it carefully. Although he has looked carefully at himself, he goes away and has immediately forgotten the sort of man he is. But he that looks closely into the perfect law, the law of freedom. Glory to God. The law of freedom and continues therein. There's a big key. Continue looking. He being not a hearer who forgets, but an obedient doer, will, as the result of his obedience, be blessed. Now let's look at a couple different parts of this. A lot of times people get caught up in the illustrations of the Bible because they look at it, you know, in traditional religious frame of mind. And so they kind of get tangled up sometimes in examples and illustrations. Let me help you with this illustration about closely examining himself in the mirror and then walking away and not forgetting. Okay, so I would wager, if I were to wager, I would say that every one of you has looked at a mirror within the last 24 hours or so. You know, shave, brush your teeth, whatever. Glance by a picture and go, you know, something. You looked at yourself in the mirror. So how many of you can tell me just exactly how long your nose is from bridge to tip? Centimeters or inches? I'm guessing that is probably, okay, there may be one out there, two out there, but it's probably not very many. Why? Well, because you didn't measure it, for one thing. And here's the delusional part about it. You walk away from that mirror, and if for some reason somebody were to, like, you know, really question you, I know it's ridiculous, nobody would really question you about this, but I'm just comparison here. If somebody really, just really put the pressure on you, really question, look, we got to know how long your nose is, man. We're getting ready to do this portrait of you, and, you know, there's framing and all this stuff. We got to know you some dimensions of your face so we get everything right. We have to know, I mean, right now, right this second, you got to tell me how long your nose is. Well, what are you going to do? 3 inches? You know, I don't know. Then you keep saying that and you keep repeating it. Well, you're going to believe your nose is 3 inches. You are now delusional regarding the length of your nose. Okay, now that sounds funny, but transfer that over. If you're not continually in the Word and reading the Word and applying it to your life, when the pressure comes in your daily life, in your home, out on the street, whatever, and there's a situation comes up and you've got to know the answer and you've got to know it now. Are you in a place where you know exactly what the Word says about this situation? Or have you just been, are you kind of one off about it? And I'm pretty sure it says this.
Well, a great example of that is where the Bible says to be thankful in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly
many
right.
people quote it as thankful for all things.
Yeah.
And
so
there's a distinct difference.
Yeah, exactly. So they're in a wreck, you know, and in the front part of their car is destroyed. Well, instead of, now listen, this is a key element in life. Instead of saying, "Oh, Father, I thank you that today the angels protected my life. I am so thankful for what you've done for me and my family. My kids still have a father. My wife still has a husband. Thank you so much." Instead of that, they'll think they're supposed to be thankful for the car wreck for some strange, they're learning patience or something, you know, it's some weird concoction. And that's the other thing. Now they think they're supposed to be thankful for this wreck because, you know, the Bible says to be thankful for everything. Well, that doesn't make sense. So you've got to come up with a reason. Well, why would I be thankful for a car wreck? Well, okay, I guess he's trying to teach me something. So now you're another step further away from the Word because the Word says the Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church, not accidents and disaster.
And they think that God sent the car wreck when the Bible specifically says that Satan came to
steal to kill,
and
destroy.
Well, he destroyed the car.
And so now you're two or three steps away from the mirror and completely delusional about what just happened in your life. Now, that's what this is talking about. You've got to keep the Word in front of your eyes and in your mouth and in your heart so that you don't step off and forget what manner of man you really are. Because the manner of man that you really are is right here, my brothers and sisters. It is right here. You have to be. In order to do that, you have to be a doer of the Word. That's the way the principle works. That's part two. You have to keep it before your eyes. You know, we're told that in Proverbs chapter 4. Keep these words before your eyes. But then the second part is, in order to help you not forget who you are, you have to be a doer of the Word. You have to put corresponding action with your faith in the Word. You look right across here to chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading this out of the Weymouth translation. Look right across here and let's pick this up in verse 14. What good is it, my brethren, if a man professes to have faith and yet his actions do not correspond? He's not a doer of the Word. Can his faith save him? ? Okay. Skip down to verse. Don't skip down. Suppose a Christian brother, this is verse 15 in Weymouth. Suppose a Christian brother or sister is poorly clad or lacks daily food. And one of you says, "I wish you well. Keep yourselves warm and well fed." And yet you do not give them what they need. What is the use of that? That's pretty plain. We're told to give to the poor. But that's only half of that promise. You go back, it's not the subject of this teaching, but you go back and look at that, and it says, whosoever gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay. That's the second half of that almost nobody quotes. But that's the second half of this scripture that's not specifically stated. But, you know, you give to the poor, you give the things that are needed, the Lord will get them back to you. So verse 17 in Weymouth, so also faith, if it is unaccompanied by obedience, here we are back to doers of the Word, has no life in it so long as it stands alone. No, someone will say, you have faith, I have actions. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding actions, and I will prove mine to you by my actions. This reminds me of an illustration that comes up to me, and I haven't heard him talk about this event for a long time. But my spiritual father, Brother Kenneth Copeland, used to tell a story. He was working around his place that they've got up there in Arkansas, and I think he was either trying to get a fence post out or a tree,
stump or something
like that. Yeah, and he had dug around it quite a bit, but then he hooked up. He had an idea, and he tied some toe straps that he had, and he put it around the stump, hooked it onto the car, and gave it the gas, and it didn't go anywhere. It did not budge. So anyway, he backs up the car a little bit, and he gets up, and he's like, oh, man, what am I going to do? And then he looks at his toe strap. And these were some good toes. These were his favorite toe straps. And the knots that he had tied around the stump, that much pressure with that car pulling against him had just, pulled those knots tight. He said it was just like, you know.
You couldn't even get a fingernail.
Yeah, you couldn't get a fingernail. And I mean, it was just almost smooth, you know. And he thought, oh, man, those are my favorite straps, and now they're ruined. But then faith spoke up and said, they don't have to be. And he's like, yeah, okay. And so I believe he said he asked forgiveness for being less than smart in that particular move. And then now, I mean, he's got his faith working. And he used the word. He said, I say unto you, Mark 11, 22, 23, I say unto you, knots be thou undone in the name of Jesus. But he didn't just, put them on the ground and, I say to you, I speak to you, I'm telling you, be undone. I'm telling you. No, he picked them up. And boy, he's just slick, but he's working at it best he can. He finally gets a fingernail under there, and he works at it, and he's working at it, and he's confessing the whole time the word, I call you undone, you are undone, and just working at it. Finally, it gives just a little bit, and he keeps working on it, and finally it gives way. I mean, these things that were just slick, it finally gives way, and the knot is undone. He says, okay, now to get the other end that was tied onto the car. He turns around to pick them up. They're laying on the ground already undone.
Already loose.
Already loose. Yeah, the knot's out of them. The straps are knotless. He only worked physically on the one end, but the word was working on the other end along with his corresponding action, and supernatural ability was made available through his faith and corresponding action that worked on the whole thing. Glory to God. That's the way this works. You put corresponding action with your faith. It worked for Abraham when the situation with offering Isaac up. It worked for Rahab, as Weymouth says, the notorious sinner who wasn't born again, wasn't even trying to be born again. But yet her corresponding action along with her faith that these people were coming and God had given them the land. And it just made her justified by putting actions with your faith. So that's what I wanted to back up and make plain and make clear today is what was meant by the corresponding actions with your faith. Be a doer of the word. If the word says, by his stripes ye were healed. And I wake up in the morning and my body tries to say, no, you're not healed, you're sick. Now I've got a choice to make. I don't have a choice to make because this choice is already made. And that's another thing, make your choice. A choice of quality from which there is no retreat and there is no indecision. I'm sticking with the word. Well, the word says I'm healed. What do healed people do in the morning? They get up. They get ready. They get up and show up. Mm-hmm. And so, man, it doesn't matter what my body's trying to tell me. It's time to put the feet on the floor and get up out of the bed. And once you put that corresponding action, because the flip side of that, and this is what people don't realize, when they give into ideas of sickness or disease, or they give in to fear, and they make a decision and do an action based on that fear. Well, what is fear? fear, some of you may have never heard this before, but fear is faith. They're the exact same spiritual force.
In opposite directions.
In opposite directions. It's twisted faith. You can see this very, 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 very clearly. Someone's fear of a dangerous animal is faith in that animal's ability to hurt or kill you.
Well, and something else about that putting action to your faith and doing things in faith is sometimes there's been that little prompting before you got sick of, okay, you need to rest. And you need to rest by faith. Mm-hmm. And you need to take that downtime so that your body can be full of health. If you keep pushing and pushing and pushing because I got to get out there, I got to do this, I got to do this. That's fear that if you aren't out there acting, you're going to fail.
Well, and even that is a violation of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because the Word, God designed us to rest one day out of seven. One whole day of actual rest, not just a little rest. You know, I'm going to cut down a little bit. No, rest. And see, even that is a violation of the Word. But you don't know that unless you stay in the Word and let the Holy Spirit minister it to you. These are the keys to the operation of the kingdom of God. You know, somebody says, people told me even actually, you know, you just live in your own little world. Yes! Yeah, it's called the kingdom of God. And it's got its own set of rules. It's got its own laws, spiritual laws. It's got its own principles of operation. And some of them look absolutely crazy to the world system, but they will work every single time. I'm thinking, and I'm going to be using this illustration in a later broadcast, but do you remember years ago when we still had our medical practice, there was a young woman that she was fairly young. I think at the time even she was maybe in her late 20s, but because of situations and things I won't go into, she was very morbidly obese and she had a stroke and she completely, I mean, it was the classic stroke. She completely lost use of one side of her body. I mean, the face was drooping, no arm, no leg. She just lost everything on that one side of the body. And I was out of town for several days, but in a dream, the Lord told her that if she would come into the office and have me pray and lay hands over her, she would be healed. But what if she had taken no corresponding action with that? If she had just said, boy, that meat must have been a little off. I ate for dinner. That was one strange dream. And then just let it go. Nothing. She'd still be half paralyzed today. But she took some action and she picked up the phone and she made an appointment. Now, I was out of town on a trip. Took me a couple days to get back in town. But man, the first day I was back in the office, well, she came in. And her mother brought her. She had to drive, of course. Anyway, we're going to go through the steps of this in an upcoming broadcast. The Lord's already told me. But anyway, so she comes in and she gets into the treatment room. This is our clinic. She comes into the treatment room. Well, I need to locate her faith. I mean, is her faith in some type of a natural treatment? Is that, I mean, where is she? So I need to locate her faith. So I said, okay, now what do you want me to treat you? What do you want? She said, I don't know. We might get around to that. All I know is you're supposed to put your hands on me and pray. And the Lord told me in a dream that I would be healed. I said, okay, that's what I needed to know. And so she sat in the chair and she had to lean over to the side because if she sat up, she'd fall over. She had nothing on this side. So she's leaning over to the side against the wall. And I just laid hands on her. And I said, Lord, your word said that the believer, that would be me, shall lay hands on the sick, that would be her, and they will recover. It's a sure thing. So Long story short, I did, God did, she did, and she got up, walked out of that treatment room like nothing had ever happened, and it handed her mom her walker. Glory to God. But she had to pick up the phone. She had to make the appointment.
She had to wait.
She had to wait. She had to go to the effort to get in the car. She had to go to her mom, who did not believe in divine healing, and get her to bring her over there. She struggled the whole way in the office. She struggled to get it, but she put action to what she heard the Lord say. And if you do that, it'll work every time. And it works in the area of healing. It works in the area of protection. It works in the area of finance. If you're believing for financial increase, you have to put corresponding action with your faith. Glory to God. And we're all out of time. I thought maybe we'd get to another point, but, you know, we just start and let the Holy Ghost go, and that's just the way it works. Oh, thank you for joining us today. We're so glad that we got to visit with you. Until next week, don't forget that God loves you and that we love you. He's always for you, and He's never, ever against you. But stay right there, because we'll be right back. Hey, it's an exciting day today because we're giving you an opportunity to actually do the word found in Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or partner with unto him that teaches in all good things. That word communicate doesn't only mean partner, but it means to sow and interact with, get in this thing together. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, this is what the women did in Luke chapter 8, the first three verses. It said that Jesus went about all the villages preaching and teaching the word of the living God. And the women who were partnered with him, they sowed into his ministry of their substance. And glory to God, you know, it goes on here in Galatians 6 to talk about sowing into the things that are spiritual. That's what you do when you sow into the teaching of the word. And you have that opportunity today. Father, we thank you. I'm asking you to reveal to the people exactly what their part is in today's offering. I thank you and praise you. We receive it and we sow it deep into the ground of David Weider Ministries, and we thank you now for their hundredfold return now in this time. Glory to God.
Thank you, partners and friends, for helping make these broadcasts possible. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, be sure to follow us on Instagram, and you can also listen to our broadcasts on iTunes. Contact us at davidweider.org or call us at 1-800-988-5380 to send praise reports, request prayer, or for more information about our ministry and how to become a partner.